Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show cast.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Joe podcast. Very demure. When you're in a room and applauding, do you, first of all, do you want your clap to be audible? Like, are you just gesturing or are you actually trying to contribute to the noise?
It's funny you say that because I went to a play last weekend and we were sitting like right at the front and I... like the worst thing that could happen to me is to have to stand up and clap. But obviously you have to do that. So I was audible, but reluctantly.
I like to impose my clap.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like it like to seem like I'm there.
Belligerent shagger with gonorrhea. I impose the clap on everyone.
Nice. I'm more of a receiver.
Right.
Receiver of clap. I'm not, just to be
fucking hell.
Clear.
We started strong.
I
could do with a trip to a steam room.
Yes, because Sean is going to a steam room later.
I envy that he does that weekly. I envy him for that.
But why do you not have a steamer at your gym?
Sauna, well.
Really?
No, I don't.
More of man for the dry heat, Sean. Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not a member of a gym, so I would...
This is all natural, this.
Yeah. Well, and actually, coincidentally, it's what peak male performance looks like as well.
Yeah.
No, I had it once, though. I wanted to steam because I'm hungover is why I want to be in the steam room. But I once went with my mate to his gym for sauna and steam after a night out and was like, this is fucking revelationary.
No, it is.
Like... We were talking actually about hangover inequalities because we were like, if you're rich, you don't have to be hungover ever because you're like, I will just go, oh, 9 a.m. on a Thursday, Shoreditch House, sauna and a steam.
Yeah.
Don't need to work. You can just go and go to the spa, take the edge off, probably have a Bloody Mary or something. And there's an inequality there, isn't there?
Well, you know, the class divide there would also be, you know, if you're working... in a, I don't know, a hot kitchen, perhaps you get the same effect.
I think that'd be worse. When I was my first job, flipping burgers, being hungover with that fucking like 200 degree piece of metal.
Yeah.
It's bad vibes.
But also that's because there's some, you know, there's a lot of meat there that's sweating in front of you as well.
It's horrendous vibes. Absolutely horrendous vibes.
Yeah.
And because it's a two-platen grill at McDonald's, so you press a button and it closes on the... So it's fried on both sides simultaneously. Mm. And that gives like a real sense of doom when you're hungover staring at it, pressing the button and it goes... And you're like, fucking imagine if my face was in that.
Do you know what I think about a lot is when you work in a supermarket, you might have had these too, the bins that crush it.
Yeah, the compactor. Yeah.
And
the bin juice in the bottom of that.
Can you imagine?
Horrific.
Do you remember how bad they smelt during the summer?
Yes. Yeah, it was terrible.
And you had that training where it was like, the training was like, do not get into this.
Yeah.
It's like, someone's gotten into this before.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to, because it was a fucking horrible thing. I mean, I think it was actually technically off the books. I don't think you're allowed to compact rubbish and then put it in the biffer bins, because the council's quite funny about, you know, waste allocation. But obviously everyone fucking does it because they don't have enough storage for their bins.
Yeah.
There's the big issues on this podcast.
Yeah.
Bins.
Well, we're here for them.
But the point is, that I was going to say, I was quite pleased. My morning, I interviewed Judith Butler, which will be out imminently. Mm. And I managed to get through it without cancelling myself with, like, two bottles of wine brain. So, happy days.
Wine last night, yeah?
Yeah, red, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Steak.
Fancy event, was it?
My best mate's in town.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, little knees up. Mm. It was a good time.
No beers, just...
A single beer afterwards. It was more than one, but yeah.
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a funny order to do that in.
Well, we went for dinner early. Is this interesting?
Yeah. It is, actually.
Yeah. And then pints afterwards.
No, I'm not sure about that.
How's your morning been?
Yeah, fine.
Did you rip him a new one on Politics Live?
Oh, you got a little bit testy, actually.
Did it? Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Between me and Paul Bristow, it did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You fuck him up?
I didn't fuck him up.
Why? You pulled your punches? You went easy on him?
No, I didn't.
You tried to go hard on him?
I tried.
But didn't land a punch?
Yes.
What happened?
No, there was some to and fro.
Was there?
Yeah.
I need to catch up.
He was very excited about the £900 in the pockets of working people that the Conservative have allocated. And I was saying, well, if you live in the southeast and you've got a mortgage, you've got an extra £1,000 payment probably every single month. So it doesn't really cancel out, does it, Paul?
No.
And then he said, well, what are Labour going to do? And I said, well, Labour aren't in power, are they, Paul?
Did you keep saying Paul?
Yeah.
I like
it's
that.
Really disarming with men if you use their name.
I find just generally it's a good like debate tactic to just say someone's name to them, because it has like a air of condescension to it. Like, Ava, please.
Yeah.
No, Ava. Ava.
And then with men, they're like, say it again.
The sweetest sound in the English language. My name.
Talk about me.
PMQs?
Yeah.
Roll the clip.
The tragedy is, we know the Prime Minister doesn't even believe in the Rwanda gimmick. He tried to stop funding it, but he's now so diminished that his entire focus is stopping his MPs holding the sword of Damocles above his head. Perhaps even literally in the case of the Leader of the House. His great hope is to percolate his party with a couple of empty planes, praying they won't notice when the flights stop going, the boat's still coming, and the costs keep mounting. How has he managed to spend £600 million of taxpayer money on a gimmick to deport 300 people?
Yeah. Ava, Keir Starmer questioning Rishi Sunak about the Rwanda policy.
Yeah, sorry, I thought we were going to start on prisons.
He also mentioned prisons. Mm. Prisons are in a bad way as well, by the way. I saw something, I think that was on the paper, there's like 200 spaces left.
Yeah. It's a one in, one out in most prisons. And there's this amazing system, which is the courts are really backlogged at the moment, and the government...
That is amazing, you're right.
No, but it serves the government well, because there aren't the places in prisons to put them.
This is great. This is actually exactly what we need right now.
So there's all these conversations about, well, we should bring back the Nightingale course, which has got a whole slew of problems onto themselves, but we should bring them back. And the government are like, no. And it's like,
that
why?
Would be
because
a terrible idea.
Because a lot of people will get convicted. And
what's justice? No.
Yeah, where am I going to put them? My house? You know? And they're releasing prisoners early to free up spaces.
I think I saw there was a memo in the MOJ to Alex Chalk that was like, we have two options. Mm. We can either release the prisoners, or we don't send anyone to prison.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly the situation you want to be in if you're the Ministry of Justice, I don't think.
But you know what's interesting is they're never releasing the sort of prisoners that you might go, oh, do you know, actually, maybe that 18-year-old who went in for possession actually doesn't really need to be in HMP Wandsworth. They go, nonsing, was he? Well,
that's the thing, isn't it? Because, you know, if you're in for a long time, if you're being sent down for like 30 years and they take you out, that's a whole 30 years of bedtime that they could fucking have someone else in there, right?
Yeah.
You know, you take out someone who's been shoplifting, for example. Well, it's a week. Does nothing. Far better. Release the nonsense.
Mm. What I like about working here is that all of the prison vans go past here.
Yes,
because they're going up to Pentonville.
Yeah, I like seeing that. Yeah, I saw one earlier.
Yeah, they come up this road right here, this little quiet road that we're on, because it's a nice little saucy little cut through.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's driving the G4S van is like, or Serco van, he's like, you know, in his Exmouth Market.
You will never eat delicious Ghanaian food again.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Great Turkish here. Not that you'll know.
Do you like mashed potatoes, son? That's all you'll be eating.
Yeah.
I always wonder about those vans when you look at them. Like, are they looking at you?
Yes, and I tell you why. Because I think it was with you, Sean, wasn't it? When we were outside and I got catcalled from inside a prison. I wasn't in the prison van.
The prisoner was Wolf.
I was outside.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it might have been with JP. And suddenly there was a lot of banging.
Oh, he's banging on the window.
Yeah, yeah. He was like...
That's genius. That's a great...
He was shouting at me.
That's a great play, actually, isn't it? Mm. Like, I don't know, let's say you're a con, you're about to go to prison for a long time, you wanted to chat someone up. My strategy would probably be to convince the person that I'm not dangerous.
Yeah.
And a really good way of communicating that would be to rapidly bang on a window and scream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm safe! Can I buy you a drink? Oh, well, when you put it like that. Yeah, I always wonder, I think about it a lot, because that little porthole.
Yeah.
You're like, that guy is going to prison right now. He's looking at like, this is the last bit of outside world he's going to see for a while. And it's just, you're just on the street going to get your fucking Turkish whatever from Exmouth Market. Day, standard day. And for him, very significant moment.
Yeah, not a standard day for him at all, actually.
No, well, possibly.
Unless he's in and out a lot. You know, he might have been coming out to get, you know, go to trial for something else.
Yeah. So. Just day, just pop out to court.
Yeah.
Back in, possibly. Yeah, it must be fucking weird.
Mm.
I would love to hear from the audience, if there's anyone who's been inside one of those trucks doing that drive.
Yeah.
I would love to hear about that. What that experience is like.
Mm.
Probably get the guy who's banging on the window being like, yeah.
Yeah, we should get this onto prison radio, because that's a... Do you know,
They must have podcasts in prison.
No, they do. Yeah. I really thought about taking this job, actually, a few years ago. A few years ago.
Right.
Everyone calm down here. To oversee prison radio. And I was like... I would love to do that job. You pick the podcasts that go on and, you know...
Do the prisoners produce their own radio?
Yeah, they can, yeah.
Music, talk radio?
Bit of talk, and they play a lot of podcasts. It's like, there's a guy called Chris Atkins, who used to be... He's got a really good book about what it was like to be in prison.
Right.
And now not be in prison and be reformed.
It's fucking great being out of prison.
Yeah. and he does a lot of the prison radio. He actually works on getting this on the circulation. So I first met him because he contacted me about a podcast I was producing and was like, hey, can I play this in prison? And I was like,
yes.
Yeah. I was like, they're going to hate this.
I suspect there's a lot of radio consumption in prison, to be honest with you.
Well, there's not a lot to do.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
If like your cell gets locked up for the night, if you haven't got a TV in your cell, which I can't imagine many of them do, maybe.
A lot of them do. Depends what category you're in.
And if you don't have like an illicit phone, you can't play Snake. So what are you going to do?
A lot of them have got iPhones now.
Permitted iPhones.
But they're all doing TikTok lives in there.
They're doing TikTok lives from prison?
Yeah.
I have not seen one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not going to.
What are they doing? Are they like dancing? Like, you have just snitched.
No.
Are they like?
They cook.
React. They cook.
Yes. They've got a kettle, haven't they?
Like in fucking Goodfellas.
They cook and they like, yeah, truly. No. In a kettle, but they'll make like a, and then they'll buy things from like.
They cook in a kettle.
The tuck, and then they'll cook like.
You
noodles.
Are clued up on prison talk.
Yeah.
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 So they'll cook noodles in a kettle. Surely,
yeah.
Surely the tea tastes fucking horrible after that.
Listen, if they're not using it for that, they're putting... a lot of those kettles have had a shitload of sugar in them, all right? And it's been boiled and, you know.
So we congratulate them for making a super noodle rather than fucking melting someone's skin off.
Yeah.
It is, well, at least they're doing something constructive.
Well done, Timmy. You haven't burnt anyone's face off today.
Resist the urge. Fucking hell. Yeah. What do you reckon that feels like?
Agony.
Horrific.
I can imagine it was agony.
Yeah.
So, someone I know. Talk to me about
had it done?
No, but...
did it?
Saw it. Being done. And he was like, ooh. I never want to see anything like that again. Like, it was so bad. Because it sticks to you.
Yeah, so, well, that's the point of the sugar, right?
And so it's just...
it's burning you.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever made jam, right?
I haven't actually made jam.
But the first rule of making jam is you've got to let it cool down because the sugar gets really, really hot.
Is that rule one?
Rule number one.
Day one at Jam Academy.
Yeah.
Let it cool down, guys.
It is.
Right, okay.
Rule number two, do not put your face in this.
Timmy.
What have we said?
I told you before.
No, you can imagine at HMP Brixton,
yeah,
when they were doing jam making class.
Yeah, fucking tricky. Field day for the gangs in there. I would fucking wilt like spinach in prison. I just would do so badly.
I know what I would do.
What's that?
I would be a massive slut. I just walk and I go, who wants it?
For protection?
Yes.
You know that scene in, you watch Prison Break?
No.
Okay. There's like in the first season where there's this really like fucked up, I think he's like a pedo or something. But they like walk around, if you're someone's bitch, you stick your back pocket of your trousers, you pull it out and stick it out. And like the guy who owns you will like walk you around on it, like almost like a lead.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just die. I'm getting done so quickly.
I think you'd be okay.
All those, my views on the justice system and reformative justice and how we need to focus more on rehabilitation and not punishment. All the times I've said that, my views would change very quickly. Once I got into prison, be like, these people are fucking insane.
No.
Lock them up forever.
I think that you'd be in charge of like getting people their GCSEs, you know?
Oh, nice.
I think you could take that
Oh, that could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, like in Shawshank?
Yeah, yeah, like an educator.
Yeah.
And I'd slowly win their trust and respect by teaching them how to spell.
Like you'd get in there and first they'd be like, who is this guy? And then by the end of the year, they're like, sir.
Yes. Please read Romeo and Juliet to us again.
Yeah. You've changed my life. Oh yeah.
So what did Keir Starmer say about the prisons?
Well, he had a great line about how he'd prosecuted more people, and I've forgotten the end of the line.
Oh yeah.
It was a good one though.
More
people what?
Rishi was like doing his whole, you defended his butt to rear.
Yeah.
And he's like, I prosecuted the human traffickers. I've prosecuted more human traffickers than you'll ever send to Rwanda or something like that.
Mm.
That's what he said. I don't understand why Rishi Sunak keeps being like, he used to be a lawyer. So he's very open about that.
Yeah.
I've heard him say it a million fucking times.
Mm.
He wants everyone to know he's a lawyer. Why is that an attack line for you?
Yeah. Someone on the comms department needs to say to him, like, it's not working. We've got to go.
He used to be a lawyer. His dad was a toolmaker.
Yeah.
His mother was a nurse.
Yeah.
No, Rishi, you idiot. That's what he wants everyone to know.
Mm-hmm. The his butts to rear line, how much cut through do you think that has?
Basically none.
Mm. I would agree.
I think very little has any cut through. It's almost like going through the motions. I think for the next 6 months, I'm sort of undoing the entire raison d'etre for these podcasts where we review PMQs. But I think for the next 6 months, it's basically, you used to be a lawyer. You're shit at your job. When's the election?
And then Stephen Flynn, what about Gaza?
Yeah, and then Stephen Flynn will do like a very good job of actually asking like an interesting question. His fucking question today as well.
Yeah.
Well, we will get to it.
We will.
It was good.
Yeah, when we're done talking about prison radio.
Yes.
And jam making.
The important matter. The important method of meeting out punishment beatings in prison, yeah.
But so he opened with talking about Rwanda.
Ah.
And importantly, the IPPR report that came out yesterday that showed, it was poor value for money. And it was shocking news to the public because everyone before that thought it was really good value for money.
Do you think there are people that are like, I don't care how much it costs?
Yes.
If it's £1 billion, per Johnny Foreigner, we will pay.
Yeah, you know why? Because there are still people in this country who'd like to see public hangings. Mm. And that is essentially a public hanging.
It's the 20% that are still loyal to the talk. They're the people that are like, doesn't matter how much it costs.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Well, Paul Bristow earlier on Politics Live was...
Who's that? The bitch you fucked up on Politics Live?
Yeah.
Paul Bitchrow.
In my dreams.
You know when you're like got a little bit of a sore head the next day and you just become quite goofy.
Yeah.
That's where that previous comment has come from.
It was good that.
Yeah. I mean, he's the second Tory MP whose surname I've changed to bitch.
Yeah. How is Steve?
For the audience, I don't think that we've spoken about Steve Bitch before on the podcast.
No, I don't think we have.
Steve Bryan.
Yeah.
Steve Bryan, who we refer to as Steve Bitch. I can't even remember why. Joe Lycett? He was the one who's complaining about Gary Lineker tweeting, wasn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
They all are, aren't they?
Funny that.
God, they really get out of bed when Gary Lineker tweets, don't they?
Yeah.
Haven't been in Parliament like for 2 weeks, but Gary Lineker tweets. Ooh!
Form the select committee.
Gary, you give me purpose.
Yeah.
Paul was actually great today because we were talking about, okay, he's written for The Express about how Boris Johnson should come back immediately to be on the campaign trail with Rishi Sunak. And then he got himself into this incredible tangle where it was, no, because Rishi Sunak is a really strong candidate. There was, okay, but why do you need Boris Johnson campaigning alongside of him? Mm. And he's like, because Boris Johnson's an excellent campaigner. It's like, so you're saying that Rishi's not? He's like, oh, I didn't say that. You did, Paul. You did.
Oh, my God, that look in your eyes, that's vicious. You scared me. I feel like Paul Bitch.
Yeah. So, Paul Bitch. Shall we? But, yeah, so apparently, Savanta today said that just one third of Tory voters would like to go ahead with the Rwanda plan. What's really interesting is this... This Rwanda plan used to be sort of like the safe word. You know how Sue Gray was during Partygate?
Yeah.
Rwanda used to be the safe word for like Sunak being able to claw back some kind of respectability. And now like his pants are down. Everyone has seen how stupid the policy is. Mm. And he keeps hammering it home like, I'm going to deliver you Rwanda. And it's like, literally no one's asked you to pull your pants down like that. Can you pull them back up, please?
Rashid,
we are in the House of Commons.
Put your trousers back on.
Yeah.
He's doing it with impunity because he knows there aren't any places in prison. So it's fine. He's like, it's indecent exposure in the Commons. But
oh God, he'd be terrible in prison, wouldn't he?
He'd get on very bad. He'd probably just pay them all off, to be fair. I think he'd be all right.
My father will hear about this.
I think he'd start running the tuck shop, build like a 100% profit margin, accrue like...
Short it.
Yeah, even short the prison economy. Set all of his loose cigarettes against the prison economy, yeah.
He'd do what they did with mortgages during the housing crisis, right? He'd put like category C chocolate bars alongside like 10 of them.
So are you doing a subprime mortgage?
I am. And then alongside one category A chocolate bar.
What's a category A chocolate bar for you?
Well, in prison, I'm going to go with like a 12. A lion bar, a lion.
I like a lion bar.
A picnic.
Describing
picnic.
You know the way to my heart.
I do. A picnic.
A twirl, however, you think a twirl is a category A chocolate bar?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You think twirl is top tier?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's a terrible choice.
Well, okay, all right.
I don't know if the audience heard Sean say it's bullshit.
All right, so premium.
Laura bought Sean a 12.
Oh yeah,
week.
You did. Didn't
and by
you,
the
Laura?
Sounds of things, he's not too happy about it.
Well.
He was very grateful at the time. I think
he was
lying. Yeah.
I think he even said, thank you, Chief, didn't he?
Yeah, classic, yeah.
So anyway, he'd sell subprime.
You're getting a picnic
confection.
Bar. Actually, underneath, it's like fucking Tesco Valley chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the way down. Shit
and
all the way
down. And
then
he gets down. Found out.
Yeah.
And then his whole scheme bursts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Implosion.
And then we've got riots.
In the prison.
Yeah.
Then he'd do badly.
Yeah.
I don't think Rishi Sunak knows how to handle himself in a riot.
No, but he could...
Does anyone know how to handle themselves in a riot? How do you handle yourself in a riot?
How do I handle myself in a
Run.
Riot? Run. Run?
No, you're doing the same thing that you do in prison.
Yeah. Anytime anything gets a little bit testy...
A burning dumpster being rolled towards you. I'm single! Stop!
Yeah. It's like, how low does this grade go? Like, when I go to the post office and I can't get, like, they're going to fine me for, like, a letter hasn't had enough stamps on it. And I'm like...
For God's sake. Oh. Where were we going with Rishi and Rwanda? Oh, yeah. So the Lords send back, I think it's 10 amendments, right? And they all get rejected in the Commons.
Mm.
The Lords' amendments were, like, pretty reasonable. Like, they weren't that... They weren't, like... Sometimes they really fuck with a bill, right? It was more like, there must be evidence presented to say that Rwanda is safe.
Yeah, that's the one that's the real sticking point for the government.
The proof.
Yeah. Because, well, you can't even really just go there. Mm. The Foreign Office is like, not sure.
You can... No, you... We got confused with this because I looked into it. It's not safe to go as a journalist.
Yeah.
If you want to go on holiday.
Fine, you can go on holiday.
Happy days.
But as a journalist, you also, I think because we looked into this and you had to, you may have to surrender all your footage at the airport when you're leaving. Can you imagine that? You'd be like, but I've just voxed. I've been voxing landlords in Kigali. What do you mean? This guy wants to own 70 properties.
The Kagame interview, no!
Yeah.
What was I going to fucking say?
Extreme Kigali.
Ed would have
this
a fucking...
This is the most safe part of Kigali.
Ed would have a fucking field day in Rwanda. I think we should get him to make Extreme Rwanda.
What would Ed be like in prison?
Terrible.
Hello, everybody.
I think it's somewhere between you and me. Like, he's not quite full-on educator. He's not quite full slut. He's somewhere between the two. You said it. No, you said it. I'm quoting you.
No,
I'm not calling
I'm laughing.
You.
I'm laughing that Ed's not here.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, I think he'd suck some people off.
Like, I think it would be, like, a bit of that and then, like, Wordle. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he's not teaching them Shakespeare. He's doing like crossword puzzles and stuff.
Yeah. He's like doing the, he's showing them Sudoku.
Yes. Yeah. So you write the number you think it might be, just do a little one of those in the top right hand corner.
And they do it in biro and he gets really angry.
Yeah.
Like, no, so actually.
So it really should be pencil.
Yeah.
It really should, because then you can erase it. That's not, it's not quite the right way of doing it. But it's okay. Do you think he'll listen? I think he will.
He does listen back.
Yeah.
Should we just not tell him?
We'll see what happens. Okay, so the Lords makes these 10 amendments. They all get rejected by the Commons. Mm. So in theory, I don't know if they will do this, but the Lords can get, they could go, well, fuck you then. We're invoking the only power that we have. We're going to make you delay this by a year.
Mm.
Ipso facto, you won't implement it because it's going to be a general election. Sucks to be you.
That would be, I think, of enormous benefit to Sunak.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think then he does the establishment won't let me deport the foreigners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really difficult because you're talking about the politicking of it. Obviously, we're not advocating for it going through the Lords to show up Sunak because, yes, I do not like the idea of someone being deported on a plane to Rwanda, yeah. Right? That's the human element of it.
Your problem is that it costs too much. If it was cheaper, you'd be okay with it.
I
£20,000 per immigrant, you'd be all right with it.
This fucking guy. but I actually don't think that they will achieve it. Even if it gets through the Lords, hypothetically, they get people on the plane again, like they did the last time, there will be an intervention. Mm. And then... Oh, God, that would be so beneficial to Sunak because likely a lawyer or an advocacy group would get them off of the plane and then Sunak would go into the election on the culture war of dreams where he says, right, I'm going to give you all a referendum on the ECHR, which, by the way, doesn't make any sense. What are they giving us a referendum on next? Do you know what I mean? Maternity pay? How many people would vote against maternity?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, what would be the result? And I think it would be, there's like 50.1% women, right? And 49.9% men.
Women would vote against it, though.
Maternity pay?
Some women would. There are no...
That's not very right on of you,
sometimes
sister.
No, I am the sisterhood.
Oh, yeah.
But there, sometimes women are worse misogynists than men.
Wow.
Sometimes women who've got up there.
Kick
for example,
are you going to name and shame?
I won't name
it. You're going to name and shame
because of, you know, like potential libel. But I've been on panels before with women who say things like, "I actually really liked it when men slapped me on the ass at the office, and I thought it was really funny." And like, you know, what is it really sexual assault if, like, you know, your boss, you know, pins you up against the wall? And it's like, do you know what?
Yes.
And she's like, it never hurt me, and I'm like, well, it looks like it did. It looks like it did hurt you, actually.
People said that to you?
They've said it on public panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most ludicrous panel I ever have been on with someone who shall not be named.
Yeah, good.
And she was saying that she misses the office banter, which was just to highly sexualize her.
Hmm.
I'm like,
we never do that.
No, but like, do you know, when it's like,
I've just done an impression of Ed sucking a dick in prison.
But that's in good faith humour, right?
But what's the difference?
Because what's the difference? We're not actually making. All right, shit, yeah. Fuck.
Right, shutter it. Close it down.
Yeah.
We fucked it. We've realised it's not okay.
Damn.
What is the difference? Genuine question.
Let's leave the ECHR.
Right, got you.
I'd like to think that Ed doesn't think that his job is contingent.
Right.
On doing any of those things.
No.
I'd like to imagine. Yeah.
There is a legitimately interesting question here about banter.
Mm.
There is a difference, which is
I can't quite think of it.
No,
but there is.
No, it is. This is entertainment, right? But we're just fucking performing monkeys in little waistcoats with clappers right here, dancing for these guys.
Mm.
I don't think I would do the dick sucking thing at the desk, just like during the day.
No.
That would be rude.
Yeah.
But here it's fine. I think.
Well, you're busy during most of the day anyway.
Yeah. I'm.
No time for it. What?
Well.
I don't know what it is, and I'm scared.
No, I was going to make a gag about it, but it's not. It's
gag,
not
yeah?
It's not.
This guy. It's clever,
not,
this guy.
It's not appropriate. Well, this has been an interesting
Rwanda.
Yeah, a meta discussion about whether or not this is okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's okay?
I lead it most of the time, so it would be.
But then you ask the question of like, well, do you feel the pressure to do that?
Do I feel the pressure to do to say that I think that Ed would be doing that in prison?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I do. From Laura. She's really pushing, cornering me.
The audience should know that all the dick jokes, they get written by her.
They do, yeah.
She does. She writes them all.
Yeah.
That's what this piece of paper says.
Yeah.
That's all that is. 50 of them.
Yeah.
These would be good today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Politics Show cast.
SNP leader Stephen Flynn.
Mr. Speaker, with his backbenchers looking for a unity candidate to replace him, which of the now numerous born again saturates on the Labour front bench. Does he believe best fits the bill?
There's that Stephen Flynn question that we were talking about. Doing, he asked good questions.
Yeah.
I thought that was a banger today.
Can I pitch something?
Sure.
This is twofold. First fold, Labour, I'm trying to understand why they are pushing themselves towards Thatcher. Darren Jones, who's the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, was on the broadcast round yesterday as well, saying that he really praised Thatcher. I was talking about this with Sean earlier, and he made a really interesting point, that he wonders if it's misogynistic. So could Rachel be trying to align herself with Thatcher because a lot of people don't think that she's up to the job as Chancellor because she's a woman.
She will be the first female Chancellor, yeah.
Yeah, and she's sort of aligning herself. Well, look what Thatcher did, and I'm going to do this sort of thing. You know, I'm a strong woman. She was the Iron Lady, that sort of thing. Thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Second point, are we not actually just experiencing Thatcher's Britain at the moment? Are we really out of Thatcherism? Because I was thinking, if you look around and like, a lot of industry is closing down. I mean, we were just at Tata Steel a couple of months ago. That's closing down. Lots of car factories are. You know, manufacturing is dead. You've got the unions going on strike regularly, all complaining that they're not being paid well enough. And we are in a sort of cold war with Russia. And we're feeling the long arm of right to buy, which is Thatcher. So have we really escaped it?
Oh, we need to fucking set the Met on those bloody work shy union lads, don't we? I think they do a good beating.
The union lads,
Yeah.
But I guess...
How many coppers do you think Eddie Dempsey could take on? I think they need a bus full.
Yeah.
At least.
And he'd only need a sleep. He could do that.
Yeah. I think a bus of coppers pulls up and Eddie Dempsey goes, you only brought one bus? Fucking neeks.
Yeah. I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Sort yourselves out.
How did we end up there? Thatcher's Britain. Yeah, look, the fundamentally, the economic and political consensus in this country hasn't changed, right? It's still neoliberalism. There's a reason, it's a fucking exceptional line, but the reason Margaret Thatcher said her greatest achievement was Tony Blair is because he did not challenge the economic settlement that she established in the 80s. The Conservative Party since has not done it. And the indication would be that the Labour Party, Keir Starmer's Labour Party and Rachel Reeves' Labour Party, is also not going to challenge it. Their fiscal rules for the incoming Labour government are identical, going to be identical, at least for the first 2 years, as the ruling Conservative Party. I shy away when they do this Thatcher thing, because I think it is just an exercise in boiling piss. I think it is just to bother. They want the condemnation of the kind of online left to be like, boo, Thatcher is bad. Why is Keir Starmer? And it's like a signal to normies or to previous conservative voters that if someone, I'm not saying that he has done this, but if someone like Owen Jones is tweeting being like, I can't believe that Keir Starmer is, you know, saying that he admired Margaret Thatcher, or can't believe that Rachel Reeves is doing this, it sends a signal to people who don't like Owen Jones. They go, oh, well, fucking, if Keir Starmer's saying that, he's actually kind of I like the fact that he's boiling Owen's piss.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of works in that way, I think. I don't think it's disingenuous. Like, I do think, for example, that Keir Starmer, when that article that I'm talking about, he kind of said that he wants to be a transformational prime minister, like Margaret Thatcher was a transformational prime minister. And like, I think that's a valid point, right? Like, you cannot say she wasn't transformational. She is one of the totemic figures in recent modern British history for the reasons we just outlined. But I'm skeptical that that's the extent of it, that that's the limit of it.
There's also him wanting to push back on Sunak's line of same old Labour, they're going to tax you more. And he's like, listen, pal, we're going Thatcher.
Less tax, baby. Yeah.
Well, more tax, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're playing chess. They want to root out the socialists and bring in the... It's quite... they're sort of just insuring themselves, aren't they? They're worried that they've lost quite a lot of their base and they need to replace that base with middle England.
How are you getting on at chess recently? Playing much?
I haven't been playing chess very much, actually. Have you?
No. Fell way off.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it was a phase.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? We got really, really hyped over it and then...
That's what I would do in prison.
Chess?
I would
become a chess
become
master.
Become a fucking grandmaster. Like, I want them shipping Garry Kasparov into Pentonville to be like, can he beat
what
chess?
What crime did you commit to chess be in Pentonville? It'd have to be quite a big one.
Yeah.
I think they have got, they've got a non-swing there, haven't they?
Why would you think it would be that? Ed did it the other day. Why are you doing it now?
No, I'm just saying I think that they have that there.
Great. I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be there.
Well, all right. What are you going down for?
Not noncing.
Right.
Definitely not.
Your Honour.
What would I get sent down for? There would be like... it would be doing too good a job of a citizen's arrest. Conjure the scenario. Either it's just Tony Blair walking down the street. Get him. Finally. Or picture the scene. There's like some kind of terrible atrocity. There's like a terror attack or something, right? People going nuts, London Bridge.
You're going to citizen's arrest, yeah. Terrorists.
Yeah. And everyone goes, no, you had citizens arrested him, you had him detained, you didn't need to put that beating on him and all of his
you
mates.
Went too far.
And I would become like a cult figure, like a hero.
Like Assange.
You know, like, hopefully, maybe not.
Smearing your own shit on Pentonville's walls.
You know, like that guy with the narwhal tusk on London Bridge.
Hey, but he died.
Yeah, but fucking hero.
Yeah.
Right? So I want it to be like that, where the British justice system basically is like, no, he went too far. But I developed like a cult status as like a vigilante.
Right.
That would also probably protect me in the prison a bit as well.
Not if you're in the same prison as the terrorists.
Yeah. No,
because
they're dead.
Because he'd want to avenge you.
No, they're dead. I've fucked them up.
Right.
Real bad.
Okay.
So it's murder. I'm in for murder.
Manslaughter, wouldn't you be in for? Or did you premeditate what you were... I guess you did.
I've just told the court.
I guess you did.
I've just told the court what I intend to
They're
do.
They're playing this podcast back in the.
Could you imagine
in the court?
In the High Court,
Your Honour, as you'll hear,
everyone's in wigs. They fucking play. We're here.
They're fast forwarding the bit where we're talking about being massive sluts in prison. Hang on, Your Honour. No, that's another man who wants to suck everyone off.
Oh dear. <Yeah. clears throat> Do you have anything else you'd like to say about Stephen Flynn and Margaret Thatcher?
I think, well, the one thing that's really bothering me at the moment is all leaders of parties talking about unlocking our productivity. I'm finding that really annoying at the moment. Because no one will say how.
Yeah, it's just like you magic it out of the sky.
It's really starting to grate on me. I think that you should not be allowed to say that.
Bonus points. How? AI.
Yeah, but see, that's a reason. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be allowed to say it if you're not going to back it up.
But that's the thing with the AI thing, right?
But you could really stunt on a journalist with that. They go, and how are you going to unlock growth, AI? They go, how? And you go... You don't know AI? You don't get it?
You know, clearly, this guy doesn't get it. This fucking schmuck. It's AI, bro. No one understands it.
This guy's working analog.
Not another one?
It's the Politics Show cast.
We know the Prime Minister has received advice about the legality of the Israel-Gaza war,
yes.
That he's had time to consider it,
yes.
That governments can and do publish such advice.
Yes.
So will he tell the House what steps he is taking to act on that advice in reviewing UK arms sales,
yeah.
In supporting proceedings in the ICJ and yeah. ICC, yeah. And in exercising the UK vote in the UN Security Council.
Yeah.
Ava, that's Andy Slaughter asking the PM about legal advice on the war in Gaza.
Yes. Well, it's good to get a Gaza question, isn't it?
Mm.
I actually didn't hear this question, I've got to be honest with you. So I'm just reading it now.
That's sorry, right.
I was racing back. Do you know, I was watching Question Time last week and I was astounded at the conversation that was going on. Did you watch it?
I saw what fucking Melanie Phillips said.
It was astonishing to say, it doesn't, let's just declare this now before someone in bad faith says something, you know, in bad faith. I'm not saying that we should be, that the atrocities of October 7th weren't awful. But when you're having a conversation about babies that are starving to death, to sit there and say that that is not happening or that is the fault of Hamas, when there is significant evidence to show that aid trucks are not being let through the crossing. I mean, that is absolutely astonishing that you're allowed to say that on television.
Yeah.
Or that you would want to say that.
Yeah. Big time. You're totally right. You're totally right. Yeah, it was awful seeing that clip. And, I mean, the situation there is awful. And I think the point that Andy Slaughter was asking him about in relation to the legal advice, I think the reason they haven't published that legal advice is because the legal advice is probably pretty bad about the conditions in Gaza that Israel is creating. I cannot get my head around the kind of... I don't want to use the phrase victim blaming, but it's kind of what it is when people talk about like starving women and children and like, well, they did this to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you elected Hamas in 2006. This is what you get. It's what you have to deal with. It's like fucking, yeah, it has nothing to do with the fucking siege, right? That's blocking aid from getting to them. Absolutely not. It's the like reverse logic that constantly applies when Israel is committing war crimes, you get this. Well, it's, you know, Hamas shouldn't have done what they did. This is in retaliation. This is Hamas's fault. They brought this upon themselves.
Mm.
They don't realize that if they extend that logic to something like October 7th, to anything else, like any of the other acts of terrorism, acts of violence that Palestinians have conducted, because like if you're going to make that point, you kind of have to then consider who the occupying force in Palestine is.
Mm-hmm.
And the context for those other acts. But on this point about reviewing UK arms sales, I cannot for the life of me, I don't understand why it isn't more of a salient UK political issue, which is Corbyn committed to it, to stop giving licences for arms sales to Saudi Arabia. But we supply these militaries, right? We supply the militaries that inflicted the worst humanitarian crisis of so far of the century in Yemen. Those bombs are British made.
Mm.
We supply the Israelis with weapons. And it's one of those things where you can one of the many things frustrate me about it, they're like, oh, what the UK's position on Gaza will have no material impact on what's happening in Gaza. Isn't true, because international pressure does make a difference. But it's also like, well, there's one really fucking material thing we could do. Stop selling them guns.
Mm. But even that, like the lack of decision on that, or the stagnation on just nothing happening. We're like the foreign secretary. What has David Cameron really done with Israel Gaza? I mean, we hardly ever hear him talking about it. When it was Ukraine, when it first erupted in Ukraine, there was a government minister on the broadcast run every single day talking about it. There is pretty much silence from cabinet on Israel Gaza. Unless they have to speak about it, they don't. They elect not to. And it's total cowardice. Because even if you're going to... if you are taking the side of the Israelis, then stand up and say that. Saying nothing is... It's politicking in a totally cowardly way.
Do you think that's because they don't want us? They don't want to be remembered or stand up and endorse what's happening right now.
But they will be remembered for it.
Hmm.
They would. None of the little minutiae about who, what three-line whip was on what vote or who said this to so-and-so. None of that is going to be remembered in 20 years' time. All you're going to remember is that there was this atrocious thing happening on the Gaza Strip and the UK did nothing about it.
Yeah, I think this has the potential to be the kind of defining moral issue of the 21st century. It undermines the West's credibility internationally, but also in terms of what you're saying there, right? So if we were to talk about, you know, calls for a ceasefire and pressure for a ceasefire, and someone can rightly say to you now, well, Keir Starmer's position is for a humanitarian ceasefire.
Mm.
But the scale of the moral outrage of what is happening is not matched by, well, initially we're not going to call for a ceasefire. We want to pause. Now we want a humanitarian ceasefire. That, like, migration of a political position doesn't marry up to the horror of what's happening. So it doesn't matter, like you said, that by the end of it you could say, well, there's a, you know, oh, well, we whipped in favour of voting for ceasefire, or whatever, you know, whatever the fucking the thing you're going to say is. It's like, when it started, you were caught short. And people won't forget that. They won't forget that.
Yeah.
Is that us?
I think so.
I mean, there's another record in here, so we've got to clear out. We've got to clear out from the studio, so there won't be any. There won't be any emoji meme titles.
No.
Oh, did you see? Fucking Varadkar the coward. He resigned, didn't he?
Oh right, I didn't know where we were going.
I think he was scared.
Scared of
my invasion.
Right. Yes. Or perhaps he's switching teams.
Oh.
Mm.
I think it might have something to do with that looming expenses scandal.
Ah. I'm trying to weave it somehow into your theory and I can't do it on the spot.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah.
Right, should we go and watch The Wave and the 11 Men?
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would still, do you know, if there was enough support for it, I would quite happily take time out of work to go and watch Dune. And then do a review.
You've changed your tune. You've changed your tune.
I have. You know, we worked out with Sean the other day that... It doesn't matter.
Sorry, so just to be clear, you want time off from work...
To go and watch Dune.
To go and watch Dune so that we can do the review podcast.
No, me. You're not in this.
Sorry, you're going to do a solo review of Dune.
You can be... You look like the sandworm today.
Shai Halud.
Is that what it's called?
The Worm, yeah. I am Lizan Al Gaib.
It looks like such a bad film. We watched... Sorry.
Best film since Lord of the Rings.
You've said it all. You've said it.
Please don't tell me you don't think Lord of the Rings is a good film.
I have seen the first 10 minutes of Lord of the Rings and nothing else.
Why did you stop?
Because it was really boring. Yeah. Miriam Margulies will probably tell you to grow up.
I didn't think I could finish this podcast any more depressed after that conversation of Gaza, but somehow you've managed to upset me more.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, shocking.
Why don't you send me off now to go and watch Dune?
No. We will sooner do a Robbie Williams at Nebworth watch along. We decided on. Were you here on the desk when we spoke about
it? No, but that's really funny. We should do that.
I think that's more likely to happen than the Dune review.
Okay.
I think it would be very surprising if we... That big dinner I had last night, we spent two
Ollie
hours...
Ollie Duckmore likes big dinners.
I eat big dinners, yeah. We spent 2 hours discussing Dune.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dork. You're so lucky you're married.
I know. That's why I luxuriated
you
doing
got
things
it,
like
you
that.
You got it out early. You got it out the way early. Yeah. So now you can just go...
Now I can focus on the important matters of discussing the work of Denis Villeneuve with my friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that his name?
The director.
Oh, sorry. Don't do that to me. The director.
Like, sorry, did you think my friend was called Denis Villeneuve and I was referring to him first name, second name?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay. Let's wrap it up.
Watch along Robbie Williams at Nebworth.
Possibly, yeah. I'm considering it. Maybe that's what we'll do for the 200th episode.
Yeah.
Because we need to do something that doesn't just involve drinking. Because I can't repeat what we did last time.
That was appalling.
It was terrible.
Appalling.
I still haven't watched the whole thing. It scares me.
Yeah. We left non-verbal.
Yeah, I can walk in a straight line.
I went up the road and I said to my friend, I said, oh no, no, it was Sean.
See, that's not your friend!
I said, we were going to go to another drinks thing, another Christmas drinks. And I said, am I really drunk? Should I go home? And he went, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't speak. I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got on a tube and started talking to people.
Did I?
Didn't someone come up to you and say, aren't you Wally Dunmore?
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, yes!
Yeah. That was bad. Fuck. Wow. I'd cleanse that from my memory. Right.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Thank you, Ava.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Undaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.